to Carrie, and I'm going to start the recording.
Thanks, Dee. My name is Carrie, and I am an alcoholic. My home group is the New Horizons Group in beautiful Bend, Oregon, and I'm currently working the maintenance and growth steps. I have a sobriety date. I don't know if I have said that one before. It's definitely, to me, not as important as the fact that I have a home group. Because without having a home group and working the steps, I probably wouldn't have my sobriety date, which is March 25th, 2010. So the sixth tradition, and thank you, Dee, for reading the long form. I want to emphasize two words in that long form that you just read, and they're on the last sentence: actual or implied affiliation or endorsement. So that can mean a lot. When I was new, I didn't know anything about, you know, affiliation, about having a home group, about the traditions, nothing like that. And I know that it was convenient for me to go to the same church morning, noon, and evening. They had meetings at that church morning, noon, and evening. It was called the Trinity Episcopal Church. And in the meeting directory, it says the name of the group, like the noon group was New Horizons. And then there's an address key, and it tells all the addresses of all the churches. And by the group called New Horizons, it said TEC. By the group called Attitude Adjustments, which is the 7 a.m. meeting that meets there, it said TEC. Primary Purpose meets there at 5:30, and it said TEC. And then if a group met at a different church, it would say like DCC. The Monday, Wednesday, Friday group met at a church called DCC. So you'd take that key and you would go and you would look up the address. Well, I didn't know. I just knew that, like, I went to meetings there, morning, noon, and evening. I was really sick. I couldn't stay. I was obsessed with drinking. Like, I could not not drink. And so I lived in meetings for a little while. And people would ask me where my home group is or what my home group is. And I'd say, oh, it's TEC. And I didn't know that that stood for Trinity Episcopal Church. Finally, you know, an old timer took me aside and he's like, you know, your home group is not the Trinity Episcopal Church. You know that, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, it says right here, TEC. He's like, no, that's the building they rent space from. Your home group is one of those meetings. No, my home group's all of those meetings. I go to all those meetings. You know, I didn't know anything about being one among many. I didn't know anything about one member, one group, one vote. I didn't know anything about that stuff. I just, you know that where it says my home group is in the meeting directory, it said TEC. Today, I understand that the reason why meetings and groups have names that have nothing to do with the facility is because it could be implied affiliation. There's another meeting in town that meets at this place called the Sons of Norway Hall. The group is called Sunday Morning Serenity, but everybody calls it Sons of Norway. And a lot of the women think that it's a men's group. And so newcomer women don't even go there because they think it's a men's group. But it's in the directory as Sunday Morning Serenity. And even their GSR, I've heard slip up and call it Sons of Norway. And that's, you know, so I'm going to go to page 17 in the handy dandy AA group pamphlet manual. If you don't have one, get one because it's gold. It's a 50 page little, the best pamphlet that we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, and probably, in my not so humble opinion, the third best piece of conference approved literature that we publish right after the big book and AA Comes of Age. So, that's how much I put into that pamphlet. So on page 17, it says, no matter how noble the activity or institution, experience has taught AA groups to carefully avoid any affiliation with or endorsement of any outside enterprise. Anything outside of AA, sorry. Wow, no matter how noble the activity, like a sober living house that gives out free beds, like a Christmas toy drive that gives out free toys to kids that don't have parents. Like, those sound like very noble activities to me. But it says we carefully avoid those things. And when I read this next line, let's think of the Zoom platform. All right. Zoom, it's like the Trinity Episcopal Church, right? I don't have, like, our meeting is called New Horizons. It's not a Zoom meeting and it's not a Trinity Episcopal meeting. It's an online meeting right now. And one day it will be back in the church basement meeting. But it's a meeting that meets online or in person, not on Zoom or, you know, it. So let me read this next part and let's consider the term Zoom meeting while I read this. Even the appearance of being linked to any outside organization, club, or political or religious institution needs to be avoided. Therefore, an AA group that meets in a correctional or treatment facility or a church should take care not to use the institution's name, but to call itself something quite different. This makes clear that the AA group is not affiliated with the hospital, church, prison, treatment facility, or whatever, but simply rent space for their meetings. Right now, my home group is simply renting space for our meetings on the Zoom platform. It's an online meeting, but it's not a Zoom meeting. It's we just simply rent space in the facility, which happens to be Zoom right now. It's not the Catholic Church. It's not, the Best Care Treatment Facility. And it's not the Zoom meeting. It's called the New Horizons Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're simply renting space for our meeting. So that was kind of my first experience with Tradition Six. In the Tradition Six Illustrated, it shows a guy wearing two hats, and it talks about affiliation of AA groups with anything outside of AA. Any activity that would harm AA as a whole needs to be avoided. There are two major dangers. I'll read the one about the two hats. AA members employed by outside agencies wear two hats, but Tradition Six cautions any such member against wearing both hats at once. On the job, they may be alcoholism counselors. They are not AA counselors. At meetings, they are just AA. They're not alcoholism experts. I like that, if it were under the eighth tradition. But since it's under the sixth tradition, I guess I'll talk about some of Tradition Eight, since that's where it is in this AA group pamphlet. So it can imply affiliation, I guess. You know, this is Tradition Six and Eight. I think in Comes of Age, it's under one, and then in the 12 and 12, it's under another, the same story, which it, you know, a lot of the same story gets used for an example for multiple traditions. And this one is, my experience with this is that, I had a, I'll give you my experience at my home group when we're on Tradition Eight with the two hatter thing. But since I see a sponsee of mine in the room, Jamie, and I don't think she'd mind my sharing that her home group is my husband's home group. And so their home group meets in a homeless shelter. And this homeless shelter is called the Bethlehem Inn, and everybody used to call that meeting the BI meeting, which it's not. It's called the Firing Line Group. When the lady that works there, that's in charge of the whole facility, she's in charge of hiring, firing, she's like the everything. She first let AA meetings in there, and I went and I was helping my husband out and dropping off a check. And I realized, oh my gosh, I know her. Like, I used to go to the 7 a.m. meeting where she goes. And what's cool about this woman is she wears two hats really well, because she has never once peeked her head, not so much as peeked her head into the Firing Line group of Alcoholics Anonymous, because it is a group that meets in the facility where she works. And she's a member of AA, but she doesn't go to meetings at that facility because it could imply affiliation. Her meeting, her home group, is the furthest group, literally, in mileage away from that facility that's possible. And homeless people, they don't get around too easy. And I don't see them walking all the way to the other end of town to get to that meeting at 7 a.m. Her home group is a 7 a.m. meeting on the opposite side of town. And I have to believe that that's because she's not going to run into clientele there. She's, and that's awesome. And she doesn't talk about when she's at her work, she doesn't talk about AA. And you would not know that she's a member. And she wears two hats very well. She doesn't try and go in and lead the meetings. She doesn't try and go in and facilitate. So that's one example that I've seen done really well. I've also seen some stuff not done super well. We're on Zoom right now. The Zoom platform. And so there's a lot of pop-up meetings that are on this same platform, right? So we're all kind of meeting in the same church right now a little bit, in a weird way. I don't know if you guys are on Facebook, but you'll see a flyer come by once in a while that will say, group is having a speaker, and the speaker's name is such and such, who wrote such and such book. That's an implied affiliation. We don't care what the speaker does for a living. We don't care if the speaker is a father. We don't call him Father Tom on a flyer. If the speaker is an author, we don't say author of the such and such book. If the speaker owns the TaylorMade Retreat in Portland, Oregon, we don't put him on the Halloween flyer as Lowell L. from TaylorMade Retreat. We might want to put his home group, which is the central group. And no, I'm not using any anonymity here because I'm not using last names, and everything I just said was absolutely true. But these things can happen really easily. We start making a name for ourselves in AA, like, oh, that guy, he started the TaylorMade Retreat, or that guy, he works at the Best Care facility. So he's Bob from Best Care instead of, and that stuff gets put on the flyers. That stuff ends up getting put on our flyers because a lot of people don't know any better. A lot of the newcomers who we have making the flyers, because it's a super fun job, they don't know any better. So who is responsible for that? Well, you could say it's the newcomer's fault. I don't think that. I think it's the fault of the person who's passing those flyers on. The person who, gets that flyer in their inbox and is asked to pass it on. And then they go and flyer dump on another page without seeing what they are passing on, without caring about what they are passing on. Because some newcomer creating a flyer and having a simple mishap is one thing. But when they see somebody with 30 years of sobriety, who is supposed to be somebody, that you look up to and that you want to, that should know better, posting a flyer that says, so-and-so, Dr. Phil or whoever, whatever the doctor is, or I'm just an AA member. It doesn't matter what books I've written. That shouldn't even enter the podium in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I'm just an AA member. It doesn't matter if I work in a treatment facility, that shouldn't even come out of my mouth at a podium in Alcoholics Anonymous, because it could be implied affiliation. If I own a sober living house, I probably don't want to go to my AA home group to look for clients in that sober living house. I probably want to keep those two things entirely separate. And, you know, I was in a workshop a couple of years ago, and I'll close with this, where the speakers were both incredible. It was a Tradition 6 workshop. And, well, actually it was just one speaker. It was a Tradition 6 talk, and it was Craig. And actually somebody said, you know, in the Q&A, have you ever seen this bit done well? And he thought about it for a second and he said, God, I really wish that I could say yes, but I can't. I've never seen it done well. And someone else was in the audience, was in attendance that day. And they pointed out, do you know why you've never seen it done well? Is because we don't see when it's being done well. Like Gwen, who works at the Bethlehem Inn, the woman that I was telling you about, that her home group is across town, nobody sees that. Nobody knows that she works there. And the people who she works with, they don't know that she's in AA. So of course we're not going to see it done, because it's being done well. So I think that it's possible. I just think that when it's done well, we don't see it, because we don't know who works for what facility. We don't know who wrote what book. We don't know what your career or occupation is, because it's not being put on the flyers, because you're not talking about it from the podium. Because inside of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm just a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I said I'd close with that, but one more quick thing. In the 12 and 12, I told you in the beginning of this workshop, and I don't know how I forgot, but that I would tell you each one of Bill's like little quirky, you know, sayings in each one of the traditions. And the one in Tradition 6 says, too many busybody cooks spoil the broth. That's the kind of little fun saying in Tradition 6. And then I love this line too. When they thought that they could be all things to all people and kind of start getting connected with hospitals and institutions and all that stuff, they said, judges would parole them into our custody. They had big plans. We'd spill into the dark regions of dope addiction and criminality. Like, this is what they were thinking AA could be. We'd form groups of depressives and neurotic folks. The deeper the neurosis, the better we'd like it. Like, they really had big plans. And then all, in the end, there's this line after they learned all their lessons. It says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous could not be all things to all men, nor should we try. And that's the central theme that weaves itself throughout all of the traditions, is it's better to do one thing supremely well than many badly. And when we attach ourselves to outside entities, it starts getting really sticky and messy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Carrie. And up next, we're going to talk about concept 6. And again, reading concept 6, it says, on behalf of AA as a whole, our General Service Conference has the principal responsibility for the maintenance of our world services. And it traditionally has the final decision respecting large matters of general policy and finance. But the conference also recognizes that the chief initiative and the active responsibility in most of these matters should be exercised primarily by the trustee members of the conference when they act among themselves as the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that said, Billy N is here tonight to talk to us about concept 6 with his experience. Thank you, Billy.
Billy Alcoholic. Hello, everybody. I had a fun day. You know why we don't have meetings where you talk about your day? Because my day sucked, and why would you want to hear about that, you know? That's why we don't have regular good old AA meetings about why, how our day was. Because then you'd have to hear about the airlines and delays and storms in the Northeast and God knows what else. But that's not the topic of tonight's meeting. I hope if everyone has a current service manual in front of them, because I just want to stress that we'll go through again what I've said before. You can divide the concepts into basically four parts. Concepts 1 to 5, call them what you want to call them. The Bill of Rights, call them whatever you want. But it's basically tells the groups the authority that they have. Concepts 6, 7, and 8 talk about, you could say simple, but some days you could say complicated. So let's just call it the simple, complicated relationship between the conference and the General Service Board. That's what concepts 6 through 8 talk about. Concepts 9, 10, and 11 talk about basically how the General Service Board is supposed to carry out their job. And then concept 12 is Article 12 of the original conference charter, also known as the warranties, the general warranties of the general service structure, the 6 of them. So tonight, we're leaving the end of the first section and starting the start of the second section, which is that simple but complicated relationship between the conference and the board. Now, there is no way to talk about this without it first going a little back in AA history to know where this all comes from. Because remember, the traditions first showed up in 1946. They were adopted in 1950. The Test General Service Conference went from 1951 to 1955. In 1955, AA comes of age. That's where the name of the book comes from. Bill and Bob, Bill, the surviving co-founder, passes on their role to the groups in AA. Their role of basically being advisors to the trustees on matters of large policy. If you go in the current service manual to page S99, which is the original conference charter, and if you go to Article 4, you will see in the third paragraph a sentence that starts with the word but, and I will read it. But no such vote ought to impair the legal rights of the General Service Board and the service corporations to conduct routine business and make ordinary contracts relating thereto. And I would tell you that the important words to underline or highlight or circle are routine and ordinary. Because there is an instruction or a warning there to the General Service Conference. Don't get involved with routine and ordinary decisions that the trustees need to make. In other words, you might like the special edition stamps with some Star Wars character on it, and somebody else might like a special edition stamp with a current, with a president, a past president on it, but we don't get to tell the office what stamps to use. And we don't get to tell them what color the carpet should be. And we don't get to tell them what day they should file their taxes. Those are all routine and ordinary things in the course of business. Now, if you turn to page S106, that's the current conference charter. And again, in Article 4, third paragraph, I will read it, starts with, it will be understood as a matter of tradition that a 2/3 vote of the conference members shall be considered binding upon the General Service Board and its related corporate services, provided that the total vote constitute at least a conference quorum. But no such vote ought to impair the legal rights of the General Service Board and the service corporations to conduct routine business and make ordinary contracts relating thereto. So that statement, that sentence, is still in the conference charter today, and it was in when it was created. But I want you to think about the opposite of that sentence. It's telling the conference not to get involved with routine and ordinary. The opposite of that sentence would be, it can get involved with non-routine and non-ordinary. Nothing prevents the conference from the conference charter of getting involved with non-routine and non-ordinary. So now let's turn to page 24 and D already read concept six. And while we're going through concept six, I'm going to tell you to also highlight a couple of things in concept eight, because we have to compare the two. So D already read, and I'll read it. On behalf of AA as a whole, our General Service Conference has the principal responsibility for the maintenance of our world services, and it traditionally has the final decision respecting large matters of general policy and finance. So there it's very clear. These were published in 1961, 6 years after the conference charter, but Bill makes it very clear. Large matters of policy and finance belong to the conference. In other words, large matters of policy and finance are not routine and ordinary. They're non-routine and non-ordinary. If you go to concept eight, and we'll just read it quickly, just the first half, the A portion. The trustees of the General Service Board act in two primary capacities. A, concept 8A is the opposite of concept six. With respect to large matters of overall policy and finance, they are the principal planners and administrators. They and their primary committees directly manage these affairs. So they plan, they administer, and they manage. But what's not written there is what's most important. What don't they do? They don't make decisions on large matters of policy and finance. Now, let's go back to concept six and make sure, because there's nothing worse than I can take all the past delegates who send numerous messages correcting every single little technical flaw that I say, which is fine. But the worst part would be if we don't address anyone who's really new to service and we talk above you or we don't explain certain things. So let's talk about just that first part of that sentence. On behalf of AA as a whole, our General Service Conference. Who do we mean? There we mean the 93 conference delegates, the 21 trustees, the 6 non-trustee directors, and the 15 staff members from the Grapevine and GSO who have a vote. That's what we mean when we say our General Service Conference. That's who our General Service Conference is. The trustees and the staff and the directors all have a say in the conference. However, they have a small say, and it's supposed to be that way. Because of concept four, where it says, taking great care that each classification of group of our world servants shall be allowed a voting representation. Well, the area delegates have the largest voting representation, almost 70% of the conference voting. Then the trustees have the next chunk, the staff the next, and finally non-trustee directors, 6 of them. That is the General Service Conference. And it goes on in 6 to say after that large matters of general policy and finance, but the conference also recognizes that the chief initiative and active responsibility in most of these matters should be exercised primarily by the trustee members of the conference when they act among themselves as a general service board of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I, for one, am glad that that is there. Everyone who knows me knows I often say, there's only two things that make you an alcoholic. Except now, because of 2 weeks ago when I was misquoted, I have to add onto that sentence. I mean, the two things that make you an alcoholic are the allergy and the mental obsession, but an allergy to alcohol. Just let me just clarify that. An allergy to alcohol. But I often say, while those two things make us all alcoholic, there seems to be a lot of other character traits that are common among alcoholics. They don't make you an alcoholic, but it sure does seem that we all have some same human characteristics. Micromanaging is one of those characteristics that seems alcoholics tend to excel at. We love to get elected to one position and tell somebody elected to another position how to do their job. We love to do that. When someone else is elected to a job, we should treat it like Concept 6 tells the delegates to treat the trustees. In other words, if you're on a convention committee and you don't like what the registration committee did, was it routine and ordinary, or was it a large matter of policy? Because if it was routine and ordinary, chances are I should keep quiet. Chances are they do not need to hear from me. The other thing that is very important in Concept 6 is that we have to give the trustees wide latitude. The last time I looked at our financials, not counting our pension fund and not counting the reserve fund, on an annual basis, we're a $15 million operation between services and publishing. That is a pretty decent size organization. We need 80 paid employees around to get that work done. Our 80 paid employees need wide latitude to do their job. I always say working for AA is very difficult. You have 2 million bosses. I often say that I think it's easier to work at an intergroup office and deal with active alcoholics who call than it is to work at the general service office and deal with sober alcoholics who call. We love to micromanage. We love to just get into things we have no business getting into. And we should be thankful that those 21 trustees take such dedicated care of the routine and ordinary business, because there's a lot of it. And those 80 employees who are there working, that's their job, not their service. We should be grateful that we have the money to pay 80 employees and that we pay them fairly. We don't underpay them. And we should be grateful that we have paid employees who are dedicated. Even the ones who are not alcoholic love the mission of Alcoholics Anonymous, love the purpose of Alcoholics Anonymous. We should give them a break on most of their routine and ordinary business. But on large matters of policy and finance, if you're a student of AA service history, if you go back the last 40 or 50 years, anytime there's been a big division between the board and the AA groups, it's always because of encroachment. If you're a football fan, you know, someone should throw a flag up in the air and call someone offsides. Because did the conference start to micromanage too much and the trustees push back? Or did arrogance slip into the General Service Board and they started to make decisions on large matters of policy and finance? I'll give you a perfect example. I love this whole thing with the preamble for many reasons. There's 100 reasons why I love it. But one of the reasons I love it is because people say, well, I can't believe it's conference approved now, because it used to not be conference approved. But when you think about it, did the Grapevine board really have a choice? I don't think so. If you really embrace concept six, sure, the Grapevine board had the power. They could have 2 years ago said, you know what? We're changing the preamble. We own it. It's our copyright. We give AAWS permission to use it. We're just going to change it. And you know, I'm very thankful to those Grapevine board members who said, you know what? This is a big decision. This is major AA policy. Now, nobody might have thought that when we created this simple little statement, not even for AA, but for people outside AA. No one ever thought this was going to become major policy. But when this was written, no one ever thought that it would be read at so many groups, that it would become part of like, oh, it's, how do you have an AA meeting with a preamble? Well, you have it very well, apparently. There are lots of AA meetings that don't use the preamble, and they seem to be doing just fine. But the Grapevine board was very wise, I think. Now, the other thing I want to talk about in here is this whole thing that to be spiritual means we lose money. Or to be spiritual, we're not responsible with AA money. This concept comes in direct connection with Tradition 7. Because oftentimes in Tradition 7, we talk about contribution instead of donation. We talk about home groups being self-supporting. We talk about not using fancy gimmicks and fundraising and all kinds of things to just be self-supporting. The part about Tradition 7 we don't talk about a lot is the incredible sacred responsibility put on trusted servants when they spend the money that AA members put in a basket. Because another thing that I've found that alcoholics seem to be very good at, and it seems a lot of them have this trait, is we love to spend other people's money. I don't know why, but it seems alcoholics can be very kind of miserly with their own money, but yet when they have this other checking account over there with not their money, they want to spend, spend, spend. And Concept 6 reminds us there's a great responsibility on spending AA money. So first of all, anyone who tells you that AA service entities are not a business, they're wrong. AA service entities are a business. And for those not familiar with nonprofit law, I'll just give you a little tutorial from the business side. The government does not just give somebody or a corporation. They do not just say, oh, you're out there doing God's work. You don't have to pay taxes. That's not what they say. They actually tell corporations, yes, if you're going to do not pay taxes, you're going to be held to a higher standard. We expect you to act better than for-profit companies. We expect you to be more accountable and more transparent to the people who you accept money from. Now, AA, unlike most other nonprofits, only takes contributions from its members. But even in the eyes of the IRS or state attorney generals, if you're a museum and you're a nonprofit and you just take money from people who donate to that museum, the government expects you to be accountable to the people who support you. Losing money is not spiritual. And I'll give the example I always give. And again, I'll go back to, there are certain traits that are very common among alcoholics. I'm sure some of you have had an a person in your AA life, a sponsee, somebody who has said they have money problems and it's really starting to affect the quality of their life, or it's really starting to affect their sobriety. And my experience with money problems is that often it doesn't matter how much money you make. Alcoholics have a tendency of spending more money than they make. That's just a fact. When you ask an alcoholic, what are your money problems? Often the amount of their monthly expenses are greater than their monthly income. Wherever that income comes from, work, trust fund, Social Security, retirement. And I always tell people, if you are dealing with someone in individual recovery, would you tell them to get another credit card and just use cash advances on that card to pay off the four cards you maxed out? No. You would teach them about budgets and how to have a budget and live within a budget. Well, that's why I love concept six in this line. Of course, our objective is always a spiritual one, but this service aim can only be achieved by means of an effective business operation. Page 25, bottom paragraph, an effective business operation. We have to be an effective business operation. When we're not, all kinds of bad things happen. It snowballs. Do you know why most inner groups today are supported by majority literature and drunk junk and other people's books that they sell? Because their business operation is no longer effective. They have a budget that's not sustainable. They are way, way, way overcommitted above the contributions that they get. Now, if you look at the General Service Office, about 70% of the budget to cover the service side of the organization, not publishing, comes from contributions, 75, 80% now these days. About 20% comes from literature profit, not literature sales. So I just want to stress that it is spiritual to be responsible. It is spiritual to have a budget. It is spiritual to be accountable for the money that you're spending to the people who gave it to you. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Billy. And thank you, Carrie. So I did get one I sent to Carrie and I did get one that I sent to Billy so far. But in the meantime, go ahead. Now is the time, you guys, to send questions in. Whether you're shy and don't want to send them directly to them and you want to send them to me, but either way, we'd like to go ahead and address them while we have you. Carrie, you have one you want to start with?
Yeah, sure. Since Tradition 6 says we don't finance outside enterprises and Tradition 7 says outside enterprises don't fund us, is it appropriate for a group to announce that their clubhouse needs support? No. I mean, of course, it's not appropriate. You know, that would just be like announcing that your church needs support or your daughter's Brownies group needs support or the Girl Scouts need support. We don't endorse clubhouses even, you know. That's just an easy one. But I'm going to go a step further and go kind of over the line here for a second because I'm on a roll tonight, I guess. But I'm going to go a step further and say, you know, I was taught, unfortunately, after I had been doing it probably the wrong way for a long time, that we don't really want to even support. I'll speak for myself, that I anymore don't even support. I'll give you an example. When I was new, and this was before I did 2 years in Al-Anon family groups, thank God for that other fellowship, I would hear an announcement made in a meeting that the such and such group needs support. You know, they're dying. They don't have enough people attending. And I would throw on my cape and I would fly over there and I would support that group both monetarily and physically. Now, I didn't realize that I was getting in the way of God's will. I didn't realize that a group needs to hit a bottom sometimes before they start maybe learning about the traditions and embracing the traditions, just like a drunk needs to hit a bottom before they get desperate enough to go through the steps, right? There was this clubhouse here called the Cough Hall, and it was dying for like years. And when I was new, it was owned by the owner of the clubhouse was also the manager of the clubhouse, who rented out to all the room, to all of the clubhouse, to all the meetings. He also owned the treatment facility next door and the sober living house down the street that he offered jobs to at the AA meetings. And that was in their announcements. I mean, there was so much affiliation issues going on and I didn't know any of that was bad. Right. And of course people weren't going to support that. Right. But I would hear it announced and I would put my cape on and fly over there and put my money in the basket and do service and whatever I could do, because that's the spiritual thing to do. Right. I mean, it would be the end of the world if an AA meeting died. Wrong. Like now I see that God was trying to do his housekeeping, his house cleaning, and I was running around getting in his way. And so today I understand that when a meeting needs support because it's not doing so good, it's probably a tradition issue. And although I could offer support by asking if they would like to, you know, me to facilitate a group inventory for them, it's not my business to go and try to, each group should be fully supported by the voluntary contributions of their own members, both monetarily and physically. So that means if they're not self-supporting and they need outsiders support announced at other meetings that they need support, unless they're a brand new group just starting, I've been taught to listen to that announcement and make a mental note in my head to just stay the heck away from that meeting and let God do its job, his job. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie. And for those of you, before I have you read that one next, Billy, those of you asking about this Sunday, yes, Carrie's doing group autonomy this Sunday. The link I just put in there, you can get access to the flyer, and that same link will have the recordings as well. Billy just did how to submit an appeal. Concept 5, and that I will also post in the chat for those of you interested to have access to that recording. Billy, you have a concepts question?
Yes. If there are no AA police but trustees are the active guardians of our 12 traditions, what is an example of an action the trustees can take to help guard our traditions? I think one of the things they can do is talk about in their reports and issues they're dealing with. You know, especially when you're a general service trustee like I was, you have to have been a non-trustee director and you have to have business or professional experience plus AA service experience. So I know one of the things that I talk about is that as an AAWS director for 8 years, whenever a question came to me that I needed to vote on, before I even got to, is it good business? The first question has to be, does it fit within our traditions? Because if it doesn't fit within our traditions, it doesn't matter if it's a good business idea or a bad business idea. We shouldn't do it. If it does fit within our traditions, then we should evaluate, is it a good business or not a good business idea? One of the things that I talk about all the time is really the only official appeal letter that I wrote while I was a director was to the AAWS board in my first year, which I didn't really want to do. But the office had decided to sublet space. As you know, I became a director in 2009. That's when the stock market and the economy crashed. You don't have to be a complicated math wizard to look at our contribution history. If you look at a stock market chart back to 1935, you will see that our contributions, when the economy goes down, our contributions go down. And we were in rough shape. And we stopped using, we had a large space for the Grapevine that we didn't need. So we rented smaller space in the same building for the Grapevine. And then we were going to sublet that space. Well, the office had decided to sublet it to the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence. And that sat not well with me. Even though they had their own door, even though they signed a contract with us, it just seemed to me like, should we be in the business of renting to people who are in the recovery business? And then their people are going to run into ours at lunchtime or in the break room or in the coffee room or down in the cafeteria. And actually at the last AWS meeting after the 2010 conference, I presented my appeal, and the AWS board, I'm very grateful they listened. And I've written lots of appeals that have failed, but on that one. So I think, you know, what I would ask the person who asked this question is, when you hear a report or you're at some AA event where a trustee or a, you know, a director is giving a report, ask them a question. Ask them, how do they have to look at the traditions when they're making these? Because, and the other thing the trustees could do, and I hope it's going to happen again soon, is it would be nice if box 459 started talking about the traditions and how the office operates inside them. So that's it. Thanks.
Nice. Thanks, Billy. Carrie, you got another one?
Yeah. It says, can you speak on the difference between the language used in the long form of tradition six, our primary spiritual aim, quote unquote, and the language used in the short form where it speaks of the quote unquote primary purpose? I did not write the traditions, so I can't speak to the difference, but I will say that tradition, no different than tradition five and tradition nine. I mean, the long form for me is more spiritual. It talks a lot about our spiritual aim or our spiritual entity. Like tradition five says that each group should be a spiritual entity. And I like that. And I guess the only thing I would add as far as the difference goes for me is quite frankly, something that I heard from Billy, which is the stop sign analogy, right? Like I have a stop sign at the end of my street with blinking lights around it. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the stop signs with blinking lights around them. It means the same thing as the stop sign without blinking lights. It's just easier to see. So the long form, it's not like the long form versus the short form. The long form is our tradition. That is our tradition. The short form is merely on all of the traditions, is merely an acronym, kind of like an abbreviation. Like it's instead of saying the general service representative, you're saying the GSR. So it's just so that it can fit on the wall and so that newcomers don't have to sit there and listen to us read 12 long forms at the beginning of every meeting. Thanks.
Thanks, Carrie. Billy, you got another one?
Yeah, and I, you know, as Carrie knows, I love the whole thing with the blinking stop sign. And I think the other thing we have to just remember about the blinking stop sign, it means the same thing, but why have they put those red lights there? Because there's more accidents at that intersection, because more people are passing that stop sign than others, which is the same for our traditions and concepts. You know, we know the traditions that people break all the time. So the next question is an awesome one. Thanks to the person who asked it. Thanks for mentioning the business side of things. Should individual groups be operating under an EIN? a federal employee identification number for their financial discount accounts rather than an individual member's social security number, such as the treasurer. If they operate under an EIN, does this mean the group should be paying taxes too? So in case there's anyone from Canada here, I think there is, EIN is something we use in the United States. Individuals have social security numbers, corporations, LLCs, partnerships have an EIN number. This is one of those things that really changed after 9/11. And people don't realize, you know, unless you were in AA before that, you don't really understand it. But there was major legislation that was put into effect as law after 9/11 around money and around bank accounts and around banks being responsible to know where money came from. That's not an outside issue. That's just a fact. And so before 9/11, I could go down to my local bank. I could throw in my driver's license and I could say, I need checks that say the one day at a time AA group of Kings Park, New York. And they would do it. They wouldn't care. But now times have changed. So it really depends on your bank. If you do get an EIN number, what I would say is, for the most part, you'll probably be under the amount of money that requires you to pay taxes. But you should get, you should have someone who pays, you should have someone who gives tax advice for a living tell you that. If you are a treasurer of a group, and if you are operating a bank account under your social security number, and let's face it, in AA, I would say conservatively, 30% of the AA groups in the United States and Canada are operating under the tax ID number of an AA member who's deceased, who probably opened up that account in like 1970 or 80. But if you have an account that's linked to your social security number, you have to be very careful when filing your taxes. Now, you don't have to show that revenue as income, but I will tell you, I'm not making this up. I do know AA members who have been audited, which in the US happens every once in a while, and the IRS will look at your bank account. And if they see $2,000 cash a month going in your bank account, they're going to ask you why. They just are. I recently was filling out some mortgage paperwork, and they came back to me because apparently I must have been bored in a meeting last April, and I used my Cash App to buy some Bitcoin because it was low. And I actually didn't even remember it, to be perfectly honest. But the underwriter came back to me and said, "Hey, what was this purchase for?" So we live in a world where it's hard. Once something goes in the system, it's there. If you do get an EIN number, you have. If you want to become a nonprofit, then you're a 501c3, and you have to go through that paperwork with the IRS. But you should ask a local accountant in your state what they think is best for you.
Thank you, Billy. Carrie, go ahead.
I'm going to combine two questions because I got two that kind of, they're very, very similar and they kind of are asking the same thing, which is basically one person says that she's new to service and learning a lot about Alcoholics Anonymous, what we are and what we are not. And she's seeing, you know, in meetings, tradition breaks, it looks like. And the other guy is saying the same thing, as he sees a lot of tradition infractions. And both people are asking, without being AA cops, what, you know, how do you handle that? Well, I would just say that I'm not the best person to ask unless you want to know what not to do. I have a lot of experience with that. But after a lot of learning what not to do, you know, one of the things that I can tell you is that if it's not your group, it's not your business. That has been a hard lesson for me to learn. So I've been taught that, let's say there's, I don't know, a non-alcoholic addict that is participating in the meeting. All right. And this just happened to me and my alternate DCM last week. I was actually a sex addict, and boy, did he go on about, you know, wanting his, he can't make amends because his, to his 10-year-old niece, because his mom, his sister doesn't want him around her anymore. And I mean, it was not even, it was not good. And it was very difficult to sit there and listen to him share, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times, but seven times about this stuff. And oh, I see my alternate DCM is in the room right now. She's remembering this. And so, you know, it can be very difficult, you know, to not become the tradition police. But I have to remember that I don't have a right. I have the right to do one of three things. I have the right to leave my home group and join that group. When I've left my home group before, I put in a notice. I don't just drop them. I fulfill my service commitment. So I could go through that whole process of leaving my home group, joining that group, showing up to the business meeting and, you know, voicing my opinion about that. Or I can vote with my feet. I don't have to ever attend that meeting again. And then there's another thing that I have found a loophole, and I used to be a chronic loophole finder. I was a professional at it for 2 years. So I still have a few slip, you know, tricks up my sleeves. One of the things is when the basket goes around, you know, I think that a contribution could go a lot further if in the way of a pamphlet instead of cash. You know, and that pamphlet, Problems Other Than Alcohol, I keep that pamphlet in my purse because I've made more contributions in the Seventh Tradition basket with that pamphlet than any other pamphlet. And so sometimes it's just a lack of not understanding, you know, it's a lack of information, not a lack of respect for the principles. And so one of the things that, I can't be in your business in your home group. Now, if it's my home group, I not only have the right, I have the responsibility to speak up and to say something. If I'm not speaking up at my own home group, then man, that's a step problem. I need to look at maybe some inventory. So and then the other thing that I have is somebody wanted to fill me in on something that I don't know. I didn't know this. And this is why I love the Q&A, because when I get to learn something with the answer of, I don't know, let's ask Billy, then that's awesome. Interestingly, the short form of Tradition 6 in the second edition in 1955 finished with spiritual aim. Like the long form, any idea how that happened and why was the short form not protected? And my answer, I get to give my favorite answer in all of Alcoholics Anonymous, is I don't know. Let me find out for you. And normally I would call Billy, but since he's in the room.
I do not know the answer to that question. So I would have to look into it. I would not want to shoot from the hip on that question.
Thank you both. That was beautiful. Now, moving on, do you have any other questions, Billy?
I'm done.
Okay. So as we're seeing no more questions, it looks like we'll be closing. I love the last answer ending on I don't know from two of you. That's beautiful. All right. So seeing that we have no more questions, I want to say thank you to both of you again. I totally love the way you both show up for Alcoholics Anonymous anytime that we've asked during this last year and a half, for sure, to show your gratitude and action for Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so I am responsible when anyone, anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. Thank you both for your time again, as usual. And thank you all for attending. So we will let you say goodnight. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Night, everybody. Thank you, thank you for the awesome questions tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Billy.
It was awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Dee, did you put that link into Billy's Talk Sunday?
Yes. You know what? I might not have. Who said that? You know what? I looked on it on the link. Let me see if I have it here. I'm going to add it tonight. I think I didn't shut the recording off the other when we did it last Sunday. It was just a couple days ago, right? I have to check the end of the link and make sure that I didn't keep it running. That's why I hadn't posted it yet, but I'll post it tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have that link or no? Do you have it to save? Do you have the information?
I'm not really sure how to use the Google Drive.
Okay.
I mean, I've downloaded it or I clicked on it, but I'm not sure if it's going to stay.
Billy's giving a talk this Sunday at my district in person. So how about that?
A long drive.
I know, right? She's such a brat. Hey, listen, Cindy, if you email me, I'll forward you whatever I got so that way you can make sure you have it. Just email me. My email's right there. Or email the home at thethreeleggroup.com. That's fine, too. There's tons of recordings on our website. It'll be there. But just reach out to me. Don't feel like you're burdening me or anything. Like, just hit me up. Make sure you got what you need, you know?
Okay. I'll double check the Google Drive first, right?
Perfect. Whatever. You can go on our website too, thethreeleggroup.com. And there's recordings and yeah, that information will be there as well. I see Leslie or no, I see Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl. So yeah, hit me up and yeah. Hi, honey.
My Google Drive is saying that it won't play any of them. So I don't
know. Really?
Yeah, it's on. I have an iPhone. I don't know why.
Might not be you. Which one?
It's like when I go to the threeleggroup.com, AA.com.
Really? Yeah, go look.
But it could be just me. My computer. Remember, my computer crashed.
And yeah.
I had to download the Big Sur software, and after I did that, oh my God, I can't even access Word documents on my computer. So I don't know. Aww. I think I need to call Apple.
I'm looking right now. Let me look right now because I'll forward you anything you need. It doesn't have, you don't have to get it off of the.
Oh, okay.
Off of there.
If you want to forward me one, we can do a test and I could see if it works.
No, I don't mean right now, but I mean, I'm looking on the website right now, but I mean, I'll forward you whatever you're looking for. Just send me an email and that way I can shoot it right back, whatever you're looking for, honey, anytime.
Thank you. I think it's just a problem.
You're welcome.
On my phone. Because I will listen to every recording if I can get to them. Well,
I'll tell you right now, here's the master recording. The only difference, I'm going to put it in the link right in the chat right now. And anything I add in the future, anything that we have from the past, even when they get cleaned up, anything that's under the three-leg group. Now, mind you, it has to be under the three-leg group. I'm only talking to you about that. Some people are here and they don't know the three-leg group is my home group, but so if it's under the three-leg group, it'll be under this link right here. I'm going to post it in the chat, right? And I can also email it to you. But if it's under the three-leg group, it'll be here. You're welcome, Ben. Good to see you. It'll be under this link right here. Bam. That link is everything. Even Billy's 25 weeks of service manual study that he did for us in 20, you know, last year. Then the new one, though, like this one, like what we're doing tonight, the Unity in Service, plus the service manual study he did before that. Uh-huh. That kind of stuff that was done for me as a DCM, that's not on the three-leg group platform. That's a different one through my DCM work. And I can send you that. But the link I just put in the chat is for everything the three-leg group. There's tons of stuff there. There's Debbie D's thing. There's Carrie's 13-week thing. There's just so much. There's Tatiana with the big book, Debunking Meeting Rhetoric, blah, blah, blah. You know, Billy's Alcoholics Anonymous, Why It's Anonymous. I mean, there's tons of good stuff on there to share with sponsees and stuff that you should be able to access regardless of what's going on with your computer. Right. Did you get it?
Yeah, I did. I bookmarked it. I should call it spiritual money.
You're so funny. You're too cute. And I'll give you the other one real quick. And then I see you, Lil. Let me make sure I put this other one in before I get sidetracked. So the other one, I don't know if I can, I don't have it really set up under the other one with my DCM stuff. I don't think where it's like one major length, like I had for recordings, but I because I have it broken down depending on what I'm doing, but let me just look real quick. Yeah, because in my DCM file, I've got a bunch of different things. It's broken down into area. It doesn't just say like recordings, but it probably should, but right now it doesn't. So anyways, I have the Unity and Service one, which is the one that we're on. You've got access to that, right? Because that's the one I've been putting in. That's tonight's stuff.
Oh.
Right? Yes, no?
No.
Maybe?
No.
No. Okay. That's the one that I posted when we first came on, but you probably, maybe you weren't here. Were you here on time?
I did get on a few. Oh, no, I haven't. I see it right here. I saved this one. I haven't tried to get on it on my computer. So I'll.
Okay.
I did save this.
So that's there. Yeah. So that's the one that'll have 13 weeks in it, and it'll have wherever we decide to add, blah, blah, blah. So, but again, now looking on the website, I'm just going to click on one thing. Let me click on, just like we had Jimmy D, we've had, let's see, concepts in the home group. Let me see. So if I click on that, now it takes me to it and I'm able to see everything and it doesn't lock me out.
It's probably
so must be your end.
I'll figure
but
it out.
If you want, not right now, but if you want some other time, because I've had a long day and we're supposed to be leaving at 5 a.m., but we're not because I'm too tired. It wouldn't be safe to leave right now. So, but because I got like a 13-hour drive ahead of me. But what I'll do is maybe tomorrow, if you get a chance, reach out to me, text me, just whatever, if you think about it. And then I'll meet you on Zoom or on the phone or on the computer. And you can go and see if you can. If it's just one or if it's a bunch or what's going on, just to see whatever, you know what I mean? If you
you're
need
the best.
It.
You're the so, best. You're really welcome. You really want to keep it. You keep giving it away.
Nah, I'm going to give it away, baby. I got to give it away. That's how we grow. I love you. Good to see you. I was so glad to see Hillary the other night too. So, and thank you for reaching out and thank you for, you know what I mean? Just being a part of her journey or what, I just love you. Thank you, babe.
So welcome. We don't have to do this alone. That's for sure. Nope. Thanks. Good night, Lil. Nope.
Thank you, dear. Love you.
Hi,
Leo. How are you?
I have a request. I didn't want to interrupt. And it's for that. All people are asking me for the recording that was made on Sunday. Can I just get
Billy's.
Yes. About the appeal, because there are people who missed it
that need it,
who want to write in an appeal.
No worries. So what I'm going to do is right now, because I can't do it while we're on here, I have to go off of, when I'm off of here, when I end this, I have to go into that file and I've got to just clip the end of it. I got to make sure, normally I'm really good and when we're done, I shut it down right then. But I want to make sure that I didn't leave the last part where we all start talking on there, because once that's on there, I mean, if there's somebody having a private conversation about something, that's not cool. So I just meant to check it. I haven't checked it. I've been worried about getting out of town. And that's just the bottom's honest truth. I've been busy with making sure my central office stuff is done too. So I'll be gone for a couple months. So we'll see. But I'll make sure it's done tonight. Yeah, so that's why it's a big deal, because I'm traveling for a couple of months camping at different campgrounds, some remote community. You know, I'll be visiting some family and doing stuff through the Thanksgiving holiday, like last year. So we'll be gone for a little while. Yeah. Sounds this is the time we'd like to do it. Usually we have cold snaps that start at Halloween, and we usually go camping and traveling from this point on. We go see the fall leaves change over in the Smokies and stuff like that outside of Gatlinburg. And so, yeah.
Wow.
It'll be fun. But I'll send it to you tonight. I promise. You have my, will you do me a favor? Will you email me?
At this email that's showing there?
No, don't go out of your way. If you have the link, let me put the link in here. Hold on. If you just keep this link later, when I put it in there later on tonight, you'll see it. This is the same link it's going to be in. I'll give it to you. Hold on. This is the link I'm using that I pre-assigned for that. Let me put it up there. Let me find it. Let me find it. So there's the one on submitting, not a conference agenda item, but submitting the.
I sent you an email earlier today, Dee. I don't know if you got it yet.
I probably haven't been on to check, honey.
Okay.
I've been with family. Okay. So what did you send it about this? About this situation?
I sent you a poster. It's okay. Aww. Don't worry.
Okay. It's a poster.
Well, it's a poster that Carrie and Billy are doing a GSR school for District 40 where I am. And yeah, so I sent you it.
Oh, perfect. But I'll share it. Definitely.
It's not until January, so don't worry.
Perfect. Obviously Carrie has it. It'll be up on the clipboard too. So perfect.
Yes, and I'll put it up on the website. I sent it to Carrie as well.
Awesome, sweetheart. I'll put it up on the website too. So here it is, concept five, submitting concept five. So this link that I'm going to put right here in the chat will be the one that's going to have it.
Okay.
I've just been lazy and I haven't been labeling these links, but you'll see it when you get it. So that's the one that has the flyer in it from Sunday. Today's what, Tuesday?
Which link? All of them?
The last one, the third one. That third one, the last one I just posted.
Okay.
Yeah. That first one of those three, the three blue ones you see, the first one is our major recordings link from the three-leg group. You can just hold on to that. Anything I add is going to be in there. It's going to be just like everything I add ever is underneath for the three-leg group is under that. Not like tonight, because this is not the three-leg group, it's underneath. But everything else that we've ever done on Sunday nights, including the one you're asking about, is going to be in that major, that first one, that file. But the specific one that's tailored to just Billy's talk for Sunday is the last one that I posted just now. So, and the only thing in that file right now is the copy of the flyer. But that's, you know what I mean? You don't see the, but in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, as long as there's nothing on the back of that when we hang up, I will be uploading it. It might take 15, 20 minutes, but it'll be in there. I'll do it right now before I go out with my kids so that I don't end up forgetting about it and getting sidetracked.
Okay. Okay.
All right, baby. I'll do it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just because people have asked me to forward.
And that's what it's there for.
I don't have it.
That's what it's there for. And I feel horrible because we had 100 people and we kept maxing out, you know, and I kept, oh my God, it was horrible because we were supposed to have 500 capacity and it didn't take, just like the last time we did it last year. Like, you know, the very first night when you're trying to get it, it seems like it doesn't work. We should have done a test run. It didn't work. And so it's the first time we've gone over that 100 capacity in a while on anything we've been doing. So Billy told me, I knew that it was going to, you know, I should have double checked. Anyway, bottom line is there was quite a few people that kept texting me, and every time it would drop from 100 to 99, I'm like, okay, come now, you know, like try to get in, you know, and it was so bad. So I felt so bad. So please feel free to share that. Give me 15 minutes and it'll be in there.
Perfect. Thanks, Dee.
All right, baby. You're welcome.
Have a wonderful evening. Bye.
You too, sweetheart.
Bye-bye. Safe travels.
Thank you. I'll be seeing you on the road. You won't even know, except for I'll show you my background. All right, sweetie. I love your pigtails. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye, honey.